Tonight's Bible reading comes from John chapter 15, verses 26 to John chapter 16, verses 15. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you, so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think what they were doing is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks to me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the word to be prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you.
Thanks, Gus. The lectern's here, so I might just stand here. Let's do it. Good evening, everyone. Good to see you. Good evening. Sorry, yeah, good to see you. Welcome. Good feedback, everyone. thank you. Have you ever stood on the edge of a big rock? You look over and you go, wow. Have you ever done it and there's a big pool of water below and you're going to jump? You're going to jump into this big pool of water. But on your right, you look over and there's like this rock cliff sort of under the water. On the left, you've got like a tree actually submerged just under the water. You look down, it might be like 10 meters. And I don't know about you, but my knees just start going and I walk back and I do not jump off. But you know in that moment when you stand on the edge of the rock and you look over and you think, am I going to jump? You have to be all in. You have to be all in, because if you jump in and you're half-half, if you sort of stand back a little bit, chances are you're going to injure yourself. Chances are that you get it wrong. Chances are that it's all going to end really badly. If you're not fully in, you're probably fully out. And you walk back and you don't jump over into the water. You can't do it. If I'm not fully in, then I must be out. I'm either all in or I'm out. And this seems to be a common way of thinking that we can often get drawn into. Let me explain what I mean. We can often think that I believe in Jesus and I've made the decision in my life and I see that actually Jesus calls us to live in this world and I'm for it, like I'm on board, but I'm just finding it really hard. There's this huge cost to actually what Jesus calls us to do, and it's tricky and I don't really want to do it. And I have these high moments in my faith where actually following Jesus brings life. And it feels good, and there's joy, and there's great celebration. And then there's these moments where it feels like I'm just drained and it's hard and I feel like a failure. The cost actually seems too high. And sometimes we can end up thinking that if I'm not all in, then I must be all out. For some reason, we end up being really black and white in our faith. Enter then doubt and insecurities. If I'm not fully in, then I must be out. And we're entering this crisis mode. We don't know what to do or where to go. And we further feel like we must be out, slowly retreating from the edge of the cliff. If I'm not all in, then what's the point? If I'm not all in, then I'm not jumping off into the water. You know, I reckon Jesus would look and say, no. Yeah, you aren't all in. You can't be all in by yourself. How do you know what to do? How do you know where you're meant to grow? How can you know what following me is meant to actually look like? Our thinking of I have to be all in or not in is hopefully going to be challenged tonight as we explore who the Holy Spirit is and what his role actually is as well. We've been tracking with Jesus through John's gospel, and he's been teaching his disciples what it means to be a follower of him, what it means to actually be a disciple. And in chapter 14, he promises the Holy Spirit, and then here in this passage, he speaks about the Holy Spirit again. Holy Spirit is key in our relationship with Jesus. And so hopefully tonight we're going to be lifting our eyes actually above our way of thinking of like all in or not in, to look to the Holy Spirit. The comforter, the advocate, our friend, our guide who actually comes alongside us to reveal Jesus and guide us in his truth, bringing hope and bringing comfort when we aren't sure what we're doing or where we are to turn. Here's the main point for tonight. Here's where we're going. The Holy Spirit, sent by God to reveal Jesus and guide us in his truth. The Holy Spirit, sent by God to reveal Jesus, guide us in his truth. And we're going to explore that through just the main four ideas actually in that statement. But before we do, why don't I just pray and pray that the Holy Spirit might actually be revealing Jesus to us tonight and teaching us about him and guiding us in his truth. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come together as a community to encourage one another, to challenge one another, but actually to gather around your word so that you might actually be able to speak to us, so that we might be able to go deeper in our knowledge of you, our understanding of you, but that we might also be able to put that into practice in our lives. And so, Lord, I just pray that your spirit might actually be at work tonight, revealing your truth actually to us and helping guide us together as a community actually in your ways, to your plans, to your purposes, to your truth in this world. So open our hearts and our minds to hear from you now, I pray. Amen. So the Holy Spirit, sent by God to reveal Jesus and guide us in his truth. Let's jump into the first bit, which is the Holy Spirit, the name, the title, the who. And there's no doubt that the Holy Spirit can be hard to wrap our heads around. There's a mystery, a sense of intrigue, actually, to the Spirit, which means that sometimes we equate the Holy Spirit to some kind of divine vibe, which magically and mysteriously actually floats between God, Jesus, and the believer. Yet this understanding leads us to believe that the Spirit is this impersonal, it's this distant or unrelatable thing. Or that the Holy Spirit is just an experience that we actually have, this high that we get, much like a day at Disneyland. But who is the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit? Well, tonight, to begin with, I'd just like to briefly explore the idea and fundamental belief that the Holy Spirit is a person. And that might seem a little bit weird. Well, it's a spirit and not the holy person. And it may seem actually like, is that even important? I don't feel like this is important. However, I think as we hopefully will come to this understanding, we'll see that it actually drastically changes the role, the nature, and character of the Holy Spirit and what it means for us and how we actually relate to and understand him. So I just want to go a little bit deeper on this idea. So stick with me, and definitions are important. So what's it actually mean to be a person? Have you ever thought about that question before? What's it mean to be a person? How do we actually define that? I was thinking about this week, and then I found someone smarter to give me a definition. So theologian Michael Bird defines personhood as a living being. So no robot, imaginary friend, or pet rock, who is self-aware, capable of cognition, is able to relate to other beings, and possesses recognizable character traits. A person is someone who can distinguish I from you. And so throughout Scripture, we learn about the Holy Spirit. When we learn about the Holy Spirit, we very quickly realize that indeed the Holy Spirit does fit into this category. The Holy Spirit can distinguish between I and you. Is the Spirit self-aware, capable of cognition or thought? Can the Spirit relate to other beings? Does he possess recognizable character traits? And I think the answer to those questions is yes, 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 yes. We see it in this passage. Verse 26 says, when the advocate comes. And the word that John uses here, it means advocate or counselor. Some even translate it as friend or helper. And the word actually means one who comes alongside to help. So the role of the Spirit, it isn't an abstract idea. It's guiding, it's helping, it's pushing and prodding and convicting and a celebrating role. Coming alongside to help. Galatians 5:22-23 points to the fruits of the Spirit actually being the personal attributes of God, the personality of the Spirit. In John 14:16, Jesus prays for another as the same kind as him. And then in this passage, we see Jesus linking the Spirit coming to his departure. There is this incredible similarity between the two. In Acts 5:3-4, it's revealed that it's possible to lie to the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4:30, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 7:51, resist the Holy Spirit. In Acts 10, the Spirit is someone we can obey and have reverence for in Psalm 51. All of that to say, there is this great depth to the Spirit. There is this incredible personality to the Spirit. And indeed, the Spirit is the third person. He is a person of the Trinity. Now, why is all that important? That's important because as we think about following Jesus, I feel like we actually think it would be so much easier to follow him if we could literally be with Jesus. Wouldn't it be nice if we were in the shoes of one of the disciples, walking long roads with Jesus, listening to his teachings, watching firsthand his miracles, seeing how he chooses what to eat for dinner, eating the bread he multiplied to feed the 5,000, being able to observe even in the mundaneness his life. Imagine we were a disciple and we were able to see what Jesus ate, wore, thought, the tone in his speech, the warmth of his embrace. It'd be so much easier to be a follower of Jesus if we had that opportunity, right? To know what Jesus wanted us to do in our life. It'd be so much easier to follow Jesus if we were with Jesus, if he stayed, if he was here. And then Jesus says, "It is good that I am going away." But surely if Jesus stayed with the disciples, it would be easier for them, easier for us. He could answer our questions. He could point us in the right direction. And he says, unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. Jesus is actually saying that there is more intimacy with the Spirit than we would ever have with Jesus. Through the person of the Holy Spirit, we have a greater intimacy than the disciples had when Jesus was living with them. God is actually now living in you. God actually dwells in you. Jesus says, I must go away. You need the Spirit. You actually want the Spirit, and the Spirit will draw you closer to me. So the Holy Spirit, a person, intimate, relatable, advocating, counseling, actually coming alongside you to help. So that's the Holy Spirit. Where are we going? The Holy Spirit sent by God to reveal Jesus and guide us in his truth. So let's move on to the next one of sent by God. Verse 26 says, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. The Holy Spirit is a gift sent from God to those who believe in him. And down in verse 13, Jesus says that he, the Spirit, will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. The Holy Spirit is sent by God as a gift, as a helper. But the important part to understand is that he doesn't speak on his own. He doesn't just come up with whatever. He listens to the Father. He absorbs what the Father has to say, who the Father is, what the Father is actually on about. And so as God sends the Spirit, he is sending a person who has the same character, who has the same intention, who has the same purposes as he has. The Spirit is God. There is no separation between the two. They are actually one. A few years ago, I tried to make kombucha. Anyone here made kombucha before? One other. Let's chat after how you went. Mine got mold. It didn't work. When you make kombucha, essentially, you make this really big batch of black tea, and then you just add lots of sugar. But importantly, you then throw in a SCOBY on top. And a SCOBY is this symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast. Essentially, it's this squishy yeast bacteria. It's sort of plasticky almost in how it looks. You can hold it, and it sits on top of the big batch of tea that you've made. Sounds great, hey? You've drunk this stuff as well. Over the next 2 weeks or so, this yeasty bacteria eats the sugar in the tea and actually grows. It expands, and it grows another layer of itself on top of itself. Once you've finished the kombucha making process, you actually pull this SCOBY out and you can tear it in two, and you actually give one away to someone who obviously would really want it. And they begin their own kombucha making journey. It's still the same SCOBY, but now there's two of them. They have the same role. They eat the sugar in your big batch of black tea. They actually ferment the drink so that when we drink it, it's this carbonated, beautiful, healthy, good for your gut goodness. They have the same role. They eat the sugar. They look the same. They do the same thing. And can you see the point of that illustration? That the Spirit is actually sent by God, but he is the same as God. There's no separation between the Spirit and God. So the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, sent by God as a gift for you and for me and indeed all believers, we can see that. And so let's move on to the next bit of actually how does the Spirit reveal Jesus? And the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus through pointing out sin for what it is and leading people to repentance. The Spirit teaches us about and helps us make sense of who Jesus is. Verse 26 says that the Spirit will testify about Jesus, and then Jesus explains in verse 8 that when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin because people do not believe in me. About righteousness because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. And so when the Holy Spirit actually comes into the world, he will testify about Jesus. He will glorify Jesus. He will actually draw people to Jesus. The Spirit will help teach us about who Jesus is. In fact, everything the Spirit does is to go, look, look, there is Jesus. Let's pursue him together. And Jesus points to the Father, and everything he says is, look, there is your heavenly Father who loves you. And Jesus explains from verse 8 actually what this will look like. Have a look with me in verse 8. The Spirit will prove the world to be wrong about three things. They are sin, righteousness, and judgment. The world is wrong about sin, verse 9, because the most basic sin, the most foundational sin, is to refuse to believe in Jesus, to miss that Jesus is actually Lord of this world and Lord of your life. The world is wrong about righteousness because they fail to see that righteousness comes from above, where the world can actually not control it nor determine it. And that is where Jesus dwells, where we can no longer actually see him. Righteousness is the sense of right justice, of judging with the right judgment. And so Jesus being righteousness is now out of sight for the world. He's saying that he is the true righteousness, the right judgment of this world. And his return actually to the Father of being killed by the Romans is actually revealing that condemnation that he received for claiming to be God's son was indeed, that condemnation he received was indeed not just. It was not right. And so the Holy Spirit will actually lay that bare for all people to see. The world is wrong about judgment because the prince of the world will be judged and condemned. And yet in the process of the prince of the world, Jesus being rejected, it will be revealed that indeed it is the evil one who is judged and condemned and ultimately defeated at Jesus' glorification. Jesus must go so that the fullness of his glorification may occur, so that he can actually die and rise again and actually ascend to the right hand of God. And once Jesus goes to the Father, the Spirit will guide the world in the truth of who Jesus is, that he is indeed the Son of God, who was judged by the Romans to be guilty, yet was innocent, and in his death on the cross defeated sin and evil once and for all. The Spirit will reveal this truth to the world so that people may believe in him, pursue his righteousness, and live by his judgment. The Spirit will reveal the verdict of the trial, which we've actually seen happening throughout this gospel, that Jesus is King, that Jesus is Lord. And so the role of the Spirit for us is to reveal Jesus more fully to us, to help us make sense of the scripture we read, to understand who Jesus is, to be drawn into his life, death, and resurrection, so that that truth might penetrate our hearts deeply. So the Holy Spirit, sent by God to reveal the truth of who Jesus is, to glorify Jesus, to make his name great, and then lead us to the way, then that leads us to the way that the Spirit actually comes alongside us to guide us in the truth, in the way of Jesus. So guiding us in his truth. From verse 13, have a look with me. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all the truth of this world. He takes who the Father is and who the Son is and actually guides us and walks with us towards that, because that is who he is too. The disciples have experienced the intimacy and depth of relationship of life with Jesus. They've shared in his joy and been with him in his sorrow. They've been part of his life close up. They've seen it. And now the Holy Spirit is actually poured out so that the disciples can continue to share in the life of God, which they have experienced in Jesus. N.T. Wright says that the Spirit is the strange personal presence of the living God himself, leading, guiding, warning, rebuking, grieving over outfailings, and celebrating our small steps towards the true inheritance. And so as Jesus guides us in his truth, as we move towards the true inheritance, as we try to follow with him the right way, where are we going? What is this truth? What is this true inheritance? And I think actually that the true inheritance, is the kingdom of God in its entirety. The truth is glimpses of heaven coming down to earth. The true inheritance is actually the renewal of all things. The truth is the whole mission of God, his plans, his purposes for the world. Jesus begun this. His ministry has been about this and leads up to this, and it is the work of the Spirit to actually continue that. And so practically, for us to think about tonight, I actually want to split up this idea of the guiding, revealing role of the Spirit into three areas. The Holy Spirit actually guides us to the truth in your life, The Holy Spirit guides us to the truth in life together, in church, in community, and actually guides us in truth in the world. So your life. We've said that the Holy Spirit resides in you. The Holy Spirit actually lives in you. You have God living in you. Let that sink in. And remember, we said that the Spirit is a person, and that means that the Holy Spirit is actually more intimate than if you were a disciple following Jesus. And so once you come to Jesus, you accept him as Lord, you actually have that Spirit, his Spirit, God actually living and dwelling in you. And sometimes we're more aware of this in our life than at other points, right? But the Spirit actually is always there. The Spirit is guiding us towards the fullness of who God made you to be in Christ. The Spirit convicts us of sin. It challenges us when we need to change, encourages us to become the people, to become people of love, and guides us towards becoming people who are alive and full of joy and peace and love and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Every time we actually have a thought to be generous to our friends, that's the Spirit at work in your life. Every time you catch yourself in a moment before you go to gossip and go, no, I'm meant to speak in truth and love to others, that's the work of the Spirit in your life. Every time you're actually drawn to pray or open up your scriptures or admire God's beauty in creation, that is the work of the Spirit in your life. Pushing you, pulling you, prodding you to become people of love, joy, peace. Willing us to be kind and generous and gentle and self-controlled. And every moment that we see a glimpse of that in our life is a moment of the Spirit at work in your life. And so as we go about life, we can either do things which open ourselves up to the Spirit's influence on and presence in our life, or we do things which close ourselves off to the Spirit in our lives. And so how open are you to the presence, influence, and role of the Spirit in your life? Are you open to allowing God to actually transform you into the person that he made you to be, where you will change? Where people will actually see a difference in your life, where you will actively end up making decisions which might be more costly, but are more loving and joyful and peaceful and kind and gentle. Where we actually see a marked difference in our lives because of the work of the Spirit in us. And I think the thing about the Holy Spirit is that it never just stops in us. It always flows in and through us. It flows out actually into the way that we live our lives with others. And so as we actually gather as believers of Jesus with the Holy Spirit living in each of us, the Spirit will actually knit us together and be at work in our community as we gather. It will influence and guide the way that we as a church love one another and strive to love God. When we step into community, when we become the church, we become people who actually reflect the truth of Jesus to one another. And so the Spirit's role is to help us to be a church who celebrates one another, who are committed to one another, who love one another, who bring joy to one another, who speak truth to one another, and create a place for people to belong. The legacy of Jesus wasn't a course to sign up to. It wasn't this set of teachings that you had to tick every box in. The legacy of Jesus was a community, and it's the church. And so the Holy Spirit continues that work to actually knit us together, to be the people of God known for our love and admired for our unity. So the Holy Spirit also guides us to truth in the world. Because it says the world was wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. But when we as a church community have the Spirit of God actually flowing through us, transforming and renewing us, we will be a witness to the world of the truth of who Jesus is. Jesus created the church. He had plans and he had purposes for the church. And so the idea is that we are to be a reflection to the world around us of who God is, of how much he loves people and what his heart actually is on about. So the Holy Spirit then moves us to injustices in the world, to care about them and to step in and be a voice in injustices, because that is what God sees as unjust. The Holy Spirit moves us to people who don't know Jesus, because that is who God is pursuing in this world. And the Holy Spirit moves us to pursue goodness and righteousness, because that is a reflection of the heart of God in the world. The Holy Spirit will guide us to live a life which actually reflects the life of Christ, a life characterized by generosity and unconditional love, a life of grace, forgiveness, patience, and gentleness. And so do I have to be all in, or do I have to step back and not jump? Well, the Holy Spirit actually says, no, I will come alongside you. I will guide you. I will be your friend and your counselor. I will be your advocate. I will actually guide and shape you towards who God made you to be, and to be a person of love, a person of grace, a person deeply committed to community and to others, and a person committed to the world and to see God's plan to renew all things actually come about. That is the role of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a relational God, that you love us and that you care and that you sent your Spirit. And so, God, I actually just pray that this week we might be a people, we might be a community who actually open ourselves up to be transformed by your Spirit, who in just the smallest, tiniest ways actually see glimpses of you at work in our lives, as we actually strive to become people through your work in us, of people of love and grace and peace and patience and kindness. God, may you be knitting us together. May you be doing the work in our lives in a way that only your Spirit actually can. We thank you, God, for who you are. Amen.